I now ask you to examine the teachings of one of the church's most important authorities, St. Thomas Aquinas, and treat it as such by the Council of Trent. They're taken from his Summa Theologica, Fathers of the English Dominion Providence, July 3, 1947. This is what St. Thomas writes on jurisdiction, the power of the keys, in the Summa, page 2638, question 20, article 1, supplement, in the pages that follow. Quoting now from the supplement, question 20, article 1, reply to objection 1. A twofold power is required in order to absolve from sins, namely, power of orders and power of jurisdiction. The former power is equally in all priests, but not the latter, and therefore, when our Lord, St. John 20:23, gave all the apostles in general the power of forgiving sins, this is to be understood of the power which results from receiving orders. Wherefore, these words are addressed to priests when they are ordained. But to Peter in particular, he gave the power of forgiving sins, St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, that we may understand that he has the power of jurisdiction before the others. But the power of orders, considered in itself, extends to all who can be absolved. Wherefore, our Lord said indeterminately, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, on the understanding that this power should be used in dependence on the power given to Peter according to his appointment, unquote, from that part of the Summa. And I will quote from the supplement, question 20, article 2, objection 2. Now it happens sometimes that a sin has attached to it a defect of irregularity or a sentence of excommunication from which a simple priest cannot absolve. End of that quote. And now I will quote from the supplement, question 20, article 2. I answer that the power of orders, considered in itself, extends to the remission of all sins. But since, as stated above, the use of this power requires jurisdiction, which inferiors derive from their superiors, it follows that the superior can reserve certain matters to himself, the judgment of which he does not commit to his inferior. Unquote from that part of the Summa. Please answer question number 49. Do you agree that it is a teaching of the Catholic Church that the Pope is the superior of the other bishops in the world, and that therefore the bishops derive their jurisdiction from him? And now we will quote from the supplement of the Summa, question 20, article 2, reply to objection 2. Hence, a priest can absolve from a crime, but for the remission of the punishment, he must refer the penitent to the superior, except in the case of excommunication, absolution from which should precede absolution from sin. For as long as a man is excommunicated, he cannot receive any sacrament of the church. Unquote from that part of the Summa. We must notice that, in the case of excommunication, an abjuration of error and profession of faith should precede confession. Baptized Catholics who become members of any non-Catholic sect have left the church. They need to first be brought back into the church. Only after that do they receive sacramental absolution from sin. And now I will quote again from the Summa, the supplement, question 20, article 3. It may also be replied that absolution in the tribunal of the confessional belongs principally to the power of the keys and consequently to the power of jurisdiction, whereas excommunication regards jurisdiction exclusively, and as to the power of orders, all are equal, but not as to jurisdiction. Unquote from that part of the Summa. Please answer question number 50. Do you believe that absolution in the confessional belongs to the power of the keys and consequently to the power of jurisdiction? Please answer question number 51. Do you agree that it is impossible for priests and bishops to absolve sins if they do not have jurisdiction? And now I will quote from the Summa, the Supplement, Question 22, Article 1. Consequently, those alone can excommunicate who have jurisdiction in the judicial tribunal. Unquote of that part of the Summa. And now I will quote from the Supplement, Question 22, Article 1, Reply to Objection 1. It is in this sense that some distinguish between the key of orders, which all priests have, and the key of jurisdiction in the tribunal of judgment, which none have but the judges of the external tribunal. Nevertheless, God bestowed both on Peter, St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, from whom they are derived by others, whichever of them they have. Unquote of that part of the Summa. Please answer question number 52. Do you agree that the above paragraph is a true teaching of the Catholic Church? Now I will quote from the Summa, the Supplement, Question 22, Article 3. I answer that. Jurisdiction can only be used in relation to another man. Consequently, since every excommunicated person is severed from the communion of the faithful, he is deprived of the use of jurisdiction. Unquote of that part of the Summa. Pope Pius XII teaches then, ad apostolorum principibus, that bishops who consecrate or are consecrated without a mandate of the apostolic see are automatically excommunicated. St. Thomas just told us that every excommunicated person is separate from the communion of the faithful, or in other words, cut off from the Church, and deprived of the use of jurisdiction. Please answer question number 53. Do you believe the bishops that have been consecrated since the death of Pope Pius XII without a mandate of the apostolic see are deprived of the use of jurisdiction? Please answer question number 54. Do you agree that these are the true teachings of the Catholic Church? Please answer question number 55. Do you believe that those who are excommunicated are cut off from the Church? Quoting now from the Summa, the Supplement, Question 19, Article 5, Reply to Objection 3. We might also reply that by members of the dove, he means all who are not cut off from the Church. For those who receive the sacraments from them receive grace, whereas those who receive the sacraments from those who are cut off from the Church do not receive grace, because they sin in so doing, except in case of baptism, which in cases of necessity may be received even from one who is excommunicated. Unquote of that part of the Supplement of the Summa. Please answer question number 56. Do you agree that the above paragraph is a true teaching of the Catholic Church? Please answer question number 57. Do you believe that it is true to state the infallible Church teaches that every bishop and priest who received orders since 1958 from the lines of succession of Archbishop Thuc, Archbishop Lefebvre, the Old Catholic Church, the Novus Ordo Church, or any other schismatic and heretical church is excommunicated and cut off from the Catholic Church? Please study with me the official statements of Archbishop Lefebvre on the occasion of his suspension, Ad Divinis, by Paul VI, June 29, 1976. That conciliar church is a schismatic church because it breaks with the Catholic Church that has always been. It has its new dogmas, its new priesthood, its new institutions, its new worship, all already condemned by the Church in many a document, official and definitive. This conciliar church is schismatic because it has taken as a basis for its updating principles opposed to those of the Catholic Church, such as the new concept of the Mass expressed in Numbers 5 with the preface to the Decree Missale Romanum and 7 of its first chapter, which gives the assembly a priestly role that it cannot exercise. Such likewise is the natural, which is to say divine, right of every person and of every group of persons to religious freedom. This right to religious freedom is blasphemous, for it attributes to God purposes that destroy His majesty, His glory, His kingship. This right implies freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, and all the Masonic freedoms. The church that affirms such errors is at once schismatic and heretical. This conciliar church is, therefore, not Catholic. To whatever extent pope, bishops, priests, or faithful adhere to this new church, they separate themselves from the Catholic Church. Unquote. From Bishop Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. Please answer question number 58. Do you agree that Archbishop Lefebvre clearly and truthfully told the world that this new conciliar Novus Ordo Church is not Catholic? Please answer question number 59. Do you agree that those who receive the sacraments in the Novus Ordo sect do not receive grace, except baptism when the correct matter, form, and intention are used, since their ministers belong to a sect that is not one holy, Catholic, and apostolic? Please answer question number 60. Do you believe that all those who accept a pope of the conciliar church as their pope adhere to this new non-Catholic conciliar church and therefore separate themselves from the Catholic Church? And now I will quote from the Summa, the Supplement, Question 19, Article 6, Objection 1. It would seem that those who are schismatics, heretics, excommunicate, suspended, or degraded have the use of the keys. For just as the power of the keys results from orders, so does the power of consecration. But the above cannot lose the power of consecration, since if they do consecrate, it is valid, though they sin in doing so. Therefore, neither can they lose the use of the keys. Unquote. And now we'll quote from the supplement, question 19, article 6. On the contrary, Augustine says that the charity of the church forgives sins. Now it is the charity of the church which unites its members. Since, therefore, the above are disunited from the church, it seems that they have not the use of the keys in remitting sins. Further, no man is absolved from sin by sinning. Now it is a sin for anyone to seek absolution of his sins from the above, for he disobeys the church in so doing. Therefore, he cannot be absolved by them. And so the same conclusion follows. I answer that, in all the above, the powers of the keys remains as to its essence, but its use is hindered on account of the lack of matter. For since the use of the keys requires in the user authority over the person on whom they are used, as stated above, question 17, article 2, the proper matter on whom one can exercise the use of the keys is a man under one's authority. And since it is by appointment of the church that one man has authority over another, so a man may be deprived of his authority over another by his ecclesiastical superiors. Consequently, since the church deprives heretics, schismatics, and the like, by withdrawing their subjects from them, either altogether or in some respect, insofar as they are thus deprived, they cannot have the use of the keys. Unquote of St. Thomas in the Summa. Please answer question number 61. Do you agree that it is a sin for anyone to seek absolution of his sins from those who are schismatics, heretics, excommunicated, suspended, or degraded, except possibly in cases of danger of death? Please answer question number 62. Do you agree that the use of the keys requires in the user authority over the person on whom they are used? Please answer question number 63. Do you agree that it is by appointment of the church that one man has authority over another? Please answer question number 64. Do you agree that only a legitimate pope is able to appoint bishops before they can obtain this necessary authority? Please answer question number 65. Do you agree that since the church deprives heretics, schismatics, and the like by withdrawing their subjects from them, they cannot have the use of the keys? Please answer question number 66. Do you agree that no one among the bishops and priests in the Traditus movement and Novus Ordo have any authority or the use of the keys? Father Clarence MacAuliffe teaches in his Sacramental Theology, Imprimatur, April 25, 1958, pages 300 through 303. Quote, Conclusion 11. No one except a priest can administer the sacrament of penance. To do so, even a priest needs special faculties. We treat only of the minister who can validly confer the sacrament, and the conditions are prescribed for licit administration. Explanation of terms. 1. No one except a priest. A priest is one who has a priestly character bestowed by the sacrament of orders. Hence, both bishops and priests are valid ministers. Deacons, subdeacons, all others are excluded. 2. A priest needs special faculties. This means that even an ordained priest must also receive jurisdiction or ruling power in order to absolve validly. Priestly ordination is not enough. The character of the priesthood confers the sanctifying power necessary for the remission of sins, but not the ruling power, which every judge must have. A bishop or priest can receive this power in either of two ways. He may be appointed to a certain office, like the bishopric of a diocese or the pastorate of a parish. Such appointments, and here Patrick Henry inserts from a pope or a bishop that has jurisdiction, end of insertion. Such appointments automatically confer faculties to hear confessions. The same faculties can also be obtained by delegation from a superior, as when a bishop grants them to religious priests. But unless a priest has ruling power, he cannot validly absolve. Mere ordination to the priesthood never confers this power. The conclusion then has two parts. First, no one except a priest can administer the sacrament of penance. Second, to do so, even a priest needs faculties. Dogmatic note. The first part is of divine faith from the Council of Trent. See Denzinger's paragraph 920 or the Council of Trent paragraph 809. If anyone says that a priest alone are not the minister of the absolution, let him be anathema. The second part is also of divine faith from the same council, see Denzinger's 903 and Council of Trent, paragraph 796, when it states that it ratifies as most true what the Church has always held, namely, that the absolution which a priest confers on one over whom he has neither ordinary or delegated jurisdiction ought to be reckoned of no worth. From this statement it follows this Catholic doctrine that a priest does not receive faculties by ordination alone. The Council of Trent supposes that the minister is a priest, that is, validly ordained. Yet it says that his absolution is of no worth unless he has either ordinary or delegated jurisdiction. Consequently, he did not receive this jurisdiction by the mere fact of his ordination. Part 1. No one except a priest can administer this sacrament. Part 2. Even a priest needs special faculties. Proof 2. From theological reasoning, the argument follows in form. Judicial power involves the exercise of jurisdiction, but the power to absolve or retain sins is judicial power. Therefore, the power to absolve or retain sins involves the exercise of jurisdiction. Proof for the major. A judge binds or looses the wills of men by imposing or liberating from obligations. This involves the exercise of jurisdiction, which he cannot assume on his own authority. He must have public power. Proof for the minor. It is clear from the second conclusion. Proof 3. From the practice of the Church as revealed by the prescriptions of canon law. The Code of Canon Law, paragraph 872, states, besides the power of orders, the minister to absolve sins validly must have either ordinary or delegated power of jurisdiction over the penitent. From this declaration, it is evident that delegated jurisdiction to absolve is not conferred by priestly ordination or episcopal consecration. That ordinary jurisdiction is not granted follows from the fact that no man receives a parish or diocese by his ordination.